So, in terms of good 80s action films, the reason why we brought up that this was something where the 80s action film was something you can say goes into the 90s, there's a certain style of action film, which is which I call the 80s action film, which isn't necessarily something that was in the 80s. Total Recall in 1990, Terminator 2, so forth.
Yeah.
Total Recall, I think, is really the ultimate of this style, because...
Another Paul Verhoeven.
Paul Verhoeven. RoboCop was along the same lines, but I think that had a lot more... that was a lot more satirical. And so was Starship
Troopers.
There was
a lot of, it was about like the way the media relates to things. I'd buy that for a dollar.
Yeah, his whole science and technology satire and how it ties into modern society and so forth. That's, you know, that's always something that kind of gives his stuff almost like a joking intellectual edge.
Yeah, it does. But
Total Recall is kind of convoluted in the plot department, so you're usually trying to focus on that
once
while you're watching
the
film.
Once again, we're dealing with another Heinlein story, isn't it?
No. Total Recall is actually based on a Philip K. Dick short.
Oh, that's right, Philip K. Dick.
And that was... that movie has so much... I think it's perfect because it's Schwarzenegger... which you kind of have to have to be one of these movies kind of that we're
talking
about.
Need a big sort of imposing, like, this guy.
And I don't really think
can take on five people at once if it's hand to hand.
And I think that if you compare the movies that he was in to ones with Stallone and so forth, that the Schwarzenegger ones are superior. There was just more of a spectacle to it.
Oh yeah,
it was like they dumped money into this.
Well,
because it's Schwarzenegger.
Probably, I would imagine probably that Stallone might have convoluted, thrown a wrench into his own system by wanting to just be more involved.
Sure,
but, you know, it's his prerogative.
I watched Rambo 2 the other day. The Rambo movies have such incredible. The first one actually was very well made.
Yeah,
the other ones they have such
based on a book. Actually.
Yeah, and they have awful production values.
I always liked the second one.
It's got but the sets, the lighting, it's awful. It's like they did this stuff in somebody's backyard. It almost looks like
I have to take a look at it again. It's been a while.
It just doesn't look.
I didn't like the third one. I thought the third one was kind of boring. Maybe because of the background. I mean, and you know, like a desolate area, which is sort of uninteresting.
The third one,
the jungle.
Yeah, the third one just reminds me of the James Bond film where they're helping out the Afghani guys against the Russians.
Yeah, that's Living Daylights.
Living Daylights.
With the
aha
song, back to the 80s music. Right?
I think Total Recall really is the perfect 80s movie because it's mostly mindless, but it's extremely enjoyable, and I think that.
It's got a journey in it. I mean, if you talk about like aspects that are required.
Sure, I'm not even worried too much about the formal parts of it, the form of it. I'm thinking of the fact that these movies that were ultra violent and showed like it's kind of hard with Schwarzenegger to say an American type person, but he was always put in these roles, even though he was.
No,
they always tried to play it off like
it's the overman. If you want to get all niche,
sure.
It's the essential.
But someone
Superman
who's supposed
would
to
be considered American because if we're the number one, then we produce that which is number one.
And he's our representative.
Yeah,
and he finds a way to overcome these. Evil guys, and even when it's like corporations, like in Total Recall, the main bad guy played by Ronnie Cox.
Ronnie Cox is fantastic.
Who has one of the greatest lines in the 80s action film, which is, I'll push this button and kill everyone and be home in time for cornflakes. I've always
something
loved
like
that. Yeah.
Oh, Ronnie Cox has had some great lines.
Yeah, Ronnie Cox
movie.
Is good. But the idea that even when it's a corporate bad guy, something that's still supposed to kind of point to something American, audiences go to these things. Especially in the 80s, the reason why I think these were so important that were actually in the 80s was because the Cold War was coming down to an end, and people either believed this was going to end peacefully or someone at the end was going to start pushing buttons and people
were.
Yeah,
there
was
a lot of, like, catastrophism. I mean, there's that now, but there's always that.
I think this was put into these 80s action films. Die Hard, for one. The reason that, you know, the bad guys in Die Hard were this multinational group of quote-unquote terrorists who were actually just trying to get money. And the way they made it kind of come out as it was like, these are bastions.
There's enough paranoia about terrorism that everyone will just believe them at face value that they actually are, you know, crazy terrorists.
And these guys were like the last bastion of communism. And it was like communism taking on parts, like the bad parts of capitalism, which these guys were just basically trying to get money.
It's commies versus heavy-handed corporate capitalists.
Yeah.
You know?
And the way – and audiences go into these movies and you see this guy who's representing blue collar America.
The individual, the rugged individualist, yeah. I think, is the key there.
Sure, and he is handily, brutally killing these guys, and every bloody hole that's punched through one of their bodies is like cathartic. Like, yeah, you know, we can win, we can win,
we'll
survive the Cold War, or whatever. I think that was actually kind of an important thing for people in the 80s to watch movies like that. And I think maybe that's one of the reasons why those would be seen as something enjoyable. I don't know if you've seen any Uwe Boll films.
I've heard those are pretty awful.
Blood Rain was actually
parts of that, yeah.
Blood Rain was actually very enjoyable. I loved this movie.
Meatloaf?
It was your
buddy Meatloaf?
My good friend Meatloaf.
And Ben Kingsley?
Kingsley.
And Michelle Rodriguez?
Michael Madsen. Michelle Rodriguez, yeah. Kristanna Loken was the main girl. And then her love interest was this dude who had this horrible mullet. And it was he's a guy who played the boyfriend who Reese Witherspoon follows in Legally Blonde. That guy.
Oh, my.
Yeah, and he was in, like, Blue Crush and stuff. But he this movie had a little bit of – it actually had quite a bit of nudity. But the violence is mind-blowing. It's mind-blowingly brutal and graphic. Maybe I just saw the unrated version. I don't know.
I saw parts of it on TV.
But there's,
so
like
– I missed out on all that.
The funniest thing is at the end of the film, you know, this – chick, she, this vampire, you know, Blood Rain, she, you know, she beats bad guys, blah, 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 and she's sitting on this throne, and then there's this creepy, like, gothic, like Baroque choir music, roll, 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 and in super slow motion, it shows these, it, like, dissolves to all these flashbacks of the most violent scenes of the film that had nothing to do with the story, nothing to do with it, and it's people, like, it's like a guy standing here, and somebody hacks him with a sword, and it shows the entire thing, and his body's, like, falling apart. Like, they spend – Uwe Boll, the reason why he makes these movies and the reason why he's able to make these for decent amounts of money, and they actually get made, is because the German government will basically
subsidize the violence, ultra-violence?
If you make – yeah, that could be something to say about Germans, I guess. Yeah. But if you make a film within the German borders – and you are of German ancestry, or like you're a German or whatever, they will match your budget.
Screw you, taxpayers.
Yeah, exactly. They'll give you.
That's the old Kids in the Hall sketch. Gotta love those socialist countries where they're like, yeah, you know, whatever.
Well, I mean, and Germany's not even, you know, they're not even really socialist anymore.
Well, any European country is pretty well socialist compared to
US
of A.
But yeah, they're basically, I mean, he can get a little bit of money from people, and then they're guaranteed to make at least their money back because the government gives them this money, no strings attached, and there's just, oh my gosh, you have to see this movie.
I've seen bits of it on TV.
It's not just heads getting chopped off. It's like people getting stabbed in the face, like a sword goes like into their cheek and like through part of their eye and like comes out through the other side behind their ear.
So you would say that's actually a pretty good visual, like special effects.
Special effects are decent, yeah. It's not even like the new thing, which is in a lot of really ultra violent new Japanese films about samurai period and stuff like that. It's CGI blood. They're putting CGI blood into stuff. There was the Blind Swordsman Zatoichi came out a few years ago. It's a remake of the 1,600 other times that film has been made.
Uh-huh.
And there's a lot of blood, but you can tell it's digital. Like, people get chopped, and then
a big
digital spray of blood comes out.
Blood.
Yeah, and in Blood Rain, it's like they very carefully made these dummies full of blood.
And then, squibs and everything.
Yeah, and then they hack into it, and a limb comes off, and then there's, like, more blood than is in the human body.
just
blows
just
out.
Turn on the hose, huh?
Well, you know, one thing I always thought about the Kill Bill movies was that there's these people all must have really high blood pressure.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
they get a limb cut off and it spurts out, and it's supposed to be cartoony.
Well,
he
was doing that as like a reference
to old kung fu movies and stuff.
Movies.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So
I just like the idea that they all had super high blood pressure. They
yeah,
all had
me
hypertension.
Too. It just doesn't. It always takes me right out of
hypertension.
The movie to see that.
And the idea that like the one girl who's Bill's assistant, who's like the French chick, she gets her arm cut off, and like. At the end of, like, that whole where she destroys everyone there, and that lady's still alive, and she's like, I want you to live and tell Bill I'm coming for him.
Yeah.
Blah, blah. And she's laying in, like, a puddle of blood that would have come out of, like, eight people, like, that many people to live.
You're probably going to die.
Yeah. That much blood is pouring. She didn't pass out or anything. She's like, oh, I'm in pain. So, anyway, so this 80s film thing, the reason why Total Recall and not Total Recall to that extent. I think True Lies is one of these films, without a doubt.
That was like 97,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, no, that, it was earlier than that. I think it was like 94 or something, 90, possibly, something like that. But that is it still counts as that type of movie. That was like almost the end of that sort of
really,
thing.
Really, I think it was like the swan song of those kinds of movies.
They came out with other movies.
I think it was the last good Schwarzenegger action movie. I mean, he did Collateral, but
yeah,
I didn't see it.
And he did End of
that,
Days. End of Days is another bad one with a lot of bad dialogue.
I didn't like End of Days. I actually saw it at the theater.
Yeah,
I
enjoyed how bad it was, but it was too kind of dark and gothic for the whole Schwarzenegger thing. But yeah, True Lies is kind of thing where it ended. They try to say that there was the type of Die Hard on a blank type movie. Speed was Die Hard on a bus. Under Siege is Die Hard on a boat. Blah, blah, blah is Die Hard on this. Blah, blah, blah is Die Hard on this. But those less and less became an 80s type film because what they were incorporating every time a new actor came along, they plugged into one of those roles, Wesley Snipes, whoever it was.
Die Hard on a Plane.
Yeah, exactly. Passenger 57. Right. It becomes just less and less interesting, I think, because they take out – actually, Passenger 57 still had the whole foreigner type thing because the bad guy in that, who was the bad guy in, like, Dungeons
and
Dragons.
It had a lot more complexity because it was like a black action hero.
Yeah, right.
And, I mean, even they had a crappy dialogue that made points about
that. But it was no longer like they didn't put as much money into them. They were no longer as well made, I think.
Yeah, that's for
sure. But, you know, the days of a rated R, extremely expensive to make action film where some American, you know, guy, some blue-collarish American guy,
the
killing
quintessential rugged individualist, overman,
blasting
American.
Huge bloody holes into foreigners is over. It's over. We're not going to see that
it's
again.
Globalization,
until,
until we becomes and, aliens.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Until it's like
and it all had to, all the 80s films that were action oriented had something to do with that. The second Alien films, which is Aliens, you can say is another sort of thing where these American type characters.
It's the other.
Yeah,
the other
it's
is
it's
the con- when
xenophobia.
You say foreigners, you mean
xenophobia. It's like the aliens are foreigners, and the idea of you know these people overrunning us, and you know whether it be communism, whether it be terrorism, you know whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's like
that's the fear. That's the conflict. If you're talking because you're talking about the rugged individual, also sort of holding this line between being non-corporate, non-institutionalized, but at the same time supporting these ideals of the individualist stance that is sort of the same way it's also community-based and stuff.
Let's rank these. The best is, in your opinion, of these of this type of action
type
movie
of
is
action
what?
Movie. Okay, I'm gonna have to go with Die Hard because rugged individualism right there.
Yeah.
You've got the cop, a rough life New York cop, which means that he's used to dealing with a city that's filled with all sorts of people. If you talk about foreigners and whatnot, and you've got the tongue-in-cheek play on the paranoia of fear, but what it ultimately breaks down—the real sense of what it really ultimately does break down to—is money.
Yeah, it's
even
money.
I mean, and that's just the way it actually is. Yeah. All this terrorist stuff, or all this religious fanaticism—it's all about money and property. We know that.
Yeah, they don't want
you know,
us
it,
in their
those
business
are all precursors to get idiots to go blow themselves up or whatever.
Yeah.
So I think Die Hard is a very smart movie in that sense. Also, with the FBI coming in and the cops being incompetent, this whole sense that, all this procedural stuff isn't going to work. You know, all this negotiation and blame it on the guy that takes action and, you know, so some people get hurt. But that's the way it has to go.
I would say I normally do say Die Hard. I'm still going to say Total Recall in this conversation. I normally would put something like a Lethal Weapon in there, but I've been having a harder time recently putting the Lethal Weapon films and that sort of thing, especially the first one, because I think Lethal Weapon and Rambo and a couple other movies made in the earlier 80 period, the first Blood, have something to do with a different idea, which is they're very concerned with the American man coming back from Vietnam having to find a new place in society, either being shunned in Rambo's case or in the second one or in Lethal Weapon, these guys who basically were living off their violent tendencies having to now find a place to to use that in the real world. And, you know, and coming to terms with all that. And I think the first Lethal Weapon was really smart with that. The rest of them were just, you know, standard buddy cop type things.
Well, yeah, by the second one, you'd calm down a little bit. I think the third and fourth one, I kind of could care less. I don't need to exist, in my opinion. But I think the second one has a lot of good stuff, too, because it does put closure to the whole, like there was more going on than just him being a vet. It was that his wife had been killed.
Right.
And all that. That was what he was going to commit suicide about in the first one.
And they almost mentioned their the Vietnam aspect of it, like as a secondhand thing, but it totally is. It's
it tells you everything you need to know about the first one. In the first one, that's the whole conflict is with the general.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's kind of like that Steven Seagal movie, Above the Law, which was all about about that.
Sure.
So, another '80s movie that was actually pretty good. Back when Steven Seagal still did a couple of good.
Yeah, I have a hard time with the Seagal stuff. I love RoboCop, but I kind of find it hard to also put that in the top because my problem is with the Seagal movies and RoboCop and a few others is that the leads aren't. Peter Weller isn't very charismatic.
No, Peter Weller is always kind of a strange actor.
Is a dick. Yeah, you know, like. the look on his face when he's punching people and breaking their necks and breaking their arms and their legs and ripping their hearts out.
It's like he's not acting like he's actually having to do that.
He's got this scowl like I'm really an awesome fighter. What are you going to do? You know.
Yeah.
One of my favorite moments in Under Siege was when some guy runs up to him and starts trying to punch him. And in one quick move with that, you know, that insufferable scowl on his face. he rips out the guy's jugular, and then the guy makes this like growling noise as he falls. He goes as he falls to the ground. I don't know why I always like that.
Yeah.
And then the fact that like you build up to this big fight scene with him and Tommy Lee Jones, and it literally lasts for like 15 seconds. I think Tommy Lee Jones slashes his arm with a knife, and they both have knives, and they continue. And then he quickly like. Digs his thumb into his eye and puts the knife in his head and then slams him into the computer. Just like that. Like, you know, I could have done this the entire time.
Yeah. Why didn't you just do that at the beginning and save everybody?
And what's different about that and really the Schwarzenegger ones are really what makes a great action movie because...
Like Commando.
Yeah, because you always... I know you love Commando. Because the thing about them, like, even in Total Recall and in a lot of movies is... Schwarzenegger, it comes across as this godlike character, but they don't write him that way. He looks like that. He looks like he would be absolutely undefeatable. But when he talks and everything, this guy's kind of dumb, you know, you think. So
It's the whole irony of him having, like, a foreign accent.
Yeah.
It's like he's fighting foreigners in some cases, but he's got a foreign accent.
But he's the American way. He's the immigrant that came over. But so anyway, he ends up struggling at the end with a lot of these guys, and he has to come up with some ingenious way to win. Predator, True Lies, The Running Man. It's not like he just faces the final guy, kills him. Like that's what Seagal does.
Yeah.
At the end of what was the one where Seagal is?
Where he goes into a coma?
Michael Caine. What's the Michael Caine one?
Oh yeah, shit, that's right.
So at the end.
Oh okay. They're in Alaska.
Yeah, it's the oil thing. I forget what that one's called.
On Dangerous Ground.
On Dangerous Ground. So at the end, Michael Caine pops up out of the water wearing a wetsuit, and he has a shotgun. He came to kill.
Yeah.
And he walks right up to Steven Seagal and points the shotgun at him. And he's, like, this close to him. He's, like, a foot away, right?
Yeah.
Which is a horrible idea to begin with. But he comes right up to him, and he says something, and Steven Seagal quickly turns the shotgun upside down and kills him.
That's right. I remember that
So it was absolutely no trouble whatsoever. Steven Seagal didn't even break a sweat in killing this guy. He didn't break a sweat in killing anyone.
No.
They walk up to him. The only real muscle movement in his entire body is his facial tension, which he's
kind of a
showing
Chuck Norris thing going on there, huh?
Yeah, Chuck Norris, the same thing. Yeah, he really doesn't have any trouble. But you want this everyman type guy who really gets the crap beat out of him because then
it's back to the Superman concept of it's not interesting unless he has to fight.
You have to think this guy may lose, even though you know he's not going to.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's been a while since I've seen Commando. What exactly does he have to struggle at all at the end of Commando?
Well, in that fight with Bennett at the end, there's stuff going on. First, Bennett's got the gun.
Yeah.
Oh, it's hilarious. It's so filled with other material. You need to listen to the greatest movie ever podcast where they review Commando and they bring a bunch of guys from other podcasts in to do it. It's hilarious, and they really hit on a lot of points about how like Bennett sort of has this like homoerotic fixation with Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
It's like. And he's wearing his chainmail, so it becomes a knife fight, like you said, once again with Seagal. But Arnold gets cut a couple of times, and there's definite back and forthism. They're going on. There's
and then he finds a way to win.
Yeah, he finds a way to win. He has to figure something out at the last minute to like save his daughter. And
I think that what was I just thinking of that ends up well in not that this is a really good movie like I already mentioned, but in Showdown in Little Tokyo, they keep mentioning that the homoeroticism kind of plays into it again. Oh, Brandon boy. Lee and him are like, you know, it's like the buddy cop thing. They hate each other at first, and they keep saying things to
you're
each other.
You're loose cannon.
Yeah,
you know,
but then in one part, in one part, they're ambushed by these ninjas who are trying to kill them. They're in some.
So they're actual ninjas.
Oh, there's ninjas
with
yeah.
the black outfits.
Yeah.
Okay, then yeah, I'm there. You don't have to drag me there. I'm definitely. I miss seeing a good
there's
old 80s style ninja.
There's ninjas. Movie. Yeah, and so they're hiding in this Steven Seagal. Dolph Lundgren just had sex with the main chick, and he's laying there in his bed, naked. And then he the ninjas attack. And Brandon Lee was in the other room, and they all jump out, and they kick everyone's butt.
Uh-huh.
And then Brandon Lee says something about, he says, "Hey, man, I need to tell you something." He goes, "What is it?" And he goes, "You got the biggest dick I've ever seen." like
that is
yeah,
really awful.
Yeah, and it's like, it comes across as like, what?
Yeah, like, what?
What?
Maybe the writer was like trying to incorporate some kind of complexity to it or something.
Yeah.
Like maybe he wanted Brandon Lee to be like a homosexual.
No, but he wasn't. He's totally straight. I mean, he like they keep every once in a while somebody makes some sort of remark. And he's like, "Whoa," like that sort of thing. Like, "No, don't you go there,
maybe
man."
Maybe he's closeted or something.
I don't know.
It's some kind of collection of elements of repression or something going on in the
so
character.
So let's review. A good '80s action film needs to have pervasive, gratuitous violence.
Pretty much.
At least two scenes of female nudity. Usually male butts. I don't mind. I don't mind seeing that in an '80s action film, right? As long as it's well sculpted. You remember now? You ever see Lethal Weapon or Loaded Weapon 1?
Yeah.
Yeah, where
I remember.
Emilio Estevez gets out of bed. Yeah. She goes, "Where are you going?" He goes, "I'm going for a butt in the moonbeam walk."
Yeah.
So it needs to have some sense of homoeroticism.
Well, that just goes with all the violence.
Yeah.
All the manliness.
Yeah.
That's I think definitely a more modern interpretation.
Sure.
Unless it's the obvious like stuff that's just straight up right there.
Yeah. It needs to have way too much money have been dumped into it. It probably doesn't make its money back.
A pretty high production value, you know? Like, and you get that in the sense that like they blew up a 747 when they didn't need to blow up a 747.
Oh, sure. They need to kill some sort of foreigner-like person
or a corporate
American.
lord guy, you know?
It needs to have Schwarzenegger in it.
Some kind of a rugged Superman that is.
But he's
flawed.
Also down to earth. Yeah, he's flawed.
He's down to
and
earth.
And all he really wants to do is spend time with his daughter.
All he really wants to do is go back to the woods and get away from it all. And, you know, he fights for love, which is the closing song
that's
of Commando.
Great. Oh, my gosh. That is the closing song of Commando, isn't
it? Yes, it is.
Are there any other good 80s songs in action films? I usually think of them in, like, Karate Kid type or like sports movies where they have a guy try to like rise above.
Yeah, it's usually more the montage music.
What other action movies have a good song like that?
Well, you didn't like the Lethal Weapon stuff, but I mean like, that was all Eric Clapton.
Right, and I really didn't like that. And one of the reasons is because the I never think
and
about
George Harrison. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I never think about Clapton with copious amounts of saxophone and. All, not so much the first one, but the especially the
had
third
a lot of
and
those
fourth
quick little saxophony
have,
bits.
No, not quick. They go for 18 minutes at a time.
Yeah.
Well, someone's standing in the rain, looking sadly at a gravestone.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my gosh, that you know that just reminded me of. I think what they were doing there was a kind of a John Woo thing because I think what's it called?
The Killer?
No. The one that was like an 80s action film because. Oh.
Well, it's Hard Boiled.
Hard Boiled, yeah.
The one where he plays the harmonica?
Yeah.
Chow Yun-Fat?
Yeah. But there's
awesome.
Not just harmonica. There's harmonica and there's saxophone.
Yeah.
It's like every... And I think that was actually in the early 90s.
No, I think it was like 87.
It was that thing? No, are you sure?
I'm pretty sure that it was...
I could have sworn that Hard Boiled was one of his later ones. Because I know The Killer was like 92. Or maybe it was 89. I don't know. I'll have to look this stuff up.
Yeah.
Well, should probably be going here.
Time to hit the dusty old trail.
And hit
we covered 80s music and 80s action.
And 80s action films are always something we'll be able to get back into.
Yeah, we'll get back into
there.
Let me think. What should we cover? What should people have to look forward to for next time? I don't know. Maybe we'll do some more cartoon stuff next time.
Cartoons sounds good, yeah.
Okay,
maybe violent cartoons. We'll be right back. I want something where people's limbs get cut off and blood spews out.
No, I guess we can find a decent bit of that, like, 90s anime or something.
Okay.
Okay.